this is such an awesome word in light of the fact that we're having a wedding. For those of you who are not of an Anglican tradition or our tradition, we do the readings out of a book called the Prayer Book. And these readings were established a long time ago. And it's a cycle of reading that in every 2 years you kind of have gone completely through the Bible. And this is the reading for today that was put in there how many years ago? Hundreds of years ago. I find things like that to be incredibly supernatural. And, of course, then that makes it incredibly charismatic. Is that God, however this was, let's just say 500 years ago or 300 years ago, said, you know, there's going to be a wedding. And so we'll have this scripture come up on that day for just to remind us of what Christ is really all about. And so and a lot of several things, like this was a scripture we had this morning for our chapel, and I related to the to our kids. You know, this is the first week of school. This is the first miracle of Jesus. Isn't that kind of cool? And so in the light of the fact that we are going to celebrate a marriage and what Jesus did here, and that this was the beginning, this was the first miracle, and I always try to put myself in the place of the disciples, those guys, because in my late teens, mid and late teens and early 20s, I spent a lot of time around fishermen in southwest Florida. My mom was a secretary bookkeeper for a shrimp packing company. And so I worked on weekends and afternoons to make extra money helping out around the docks. So I was around all these fishermen all the time, and I was a heathen. And so I associated fully as possible with those guys. And they're a unique breed of people. They always have been, I think. Because what I found in our fishermen down there is that I knew one of our guys who was an alcoholic as could be, but he was also a graduate of Harvard. You know? So fishermen have always been kind of this unique blend of just good old boys, some of them highly educated, but they just didn't want to fit into that system of the world so much, and they generated to something they can make a living at doing. But one thing characteristic of almost all of them is that they lead a really rough and tumble kind of life. And so as Bracken was reading the scripture, I just thought, man, you know, like the guys that I hung out with, if they'd have been there and Jesus had made all this water, which was like hundreds of gallons of water, had turned it all into wine, those guys would have been excited. You know? They'd have been going like, man, we picked the right guy to follow, because every night at dinner we're going to just do water to wine and all. So I think that this very first miracle that Jesus did totally put the disciples behind the curve. And they played, and the rest of the time until Pentecost, they were playing catch up. Because we constantly see that they didn't really get it. They were always struggling to understand what Jesus was doing, even though we look at it and go, that seems pretty plain. Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight, and they didn't. They was in the moment of the experience. And also, I just wonder, what were their thoughts when this happened, this miracle happened? And what were their thoughts? Where's this going to? What's next? You know, what is going to be the next thing that's going to totally be outside of our paradigm of life, thinking, or anything else that we will undoubtedly be struggling with? And so the question then becomes, how do we apply that to us? How about us? How about you in your life? How many times does Jesus come in and just change it? You think you've got it figured out. I mean, like a wedding, you know, like I've been like, drive myself nuts with this wedding rehearsal issue, because it's kind of the way this wedding is doing. A church in Birmingham, Lamb of God, one of our churches there, is doing part of it, and we're doing part of it. And so it's like, what's going on? How's this deal working? Most of our lives, we spend most of our lives organizing it and saying, this is what's going to happen. And this is at the wedding reception. I'm betting that whoever's doing the food and putting on the wedding reception has a menu, and they've got it all figured out. They've got this much food, this much tea, this much water, yada, yada, yada. They've got it all figured out. Well, that's what we try to do in our lives, is we try to figure things out and we get caught up into these things. So I was talking with a brother just last night, and he was telling me how he got off into this, trying to figure this an issue, a situation out so much that he had forgot the most basic things, which is Jesus has got it. You know? And we all do that over and over again. But you know, it's like here, what I found refreshing in this story is that when Jesus steps in and reminds us and brings us back into focus that it's about Him, you know, and that's what this wedding thing came down to, is that they were out of wine, which for them was a horrible, scandalous thing for a wedding, for the father of that's doing all of this to have happen, is that the wedding reception thing is not over. It's still going on, but there's no more wine. That'd be like we do something and there's no more tea, there's no more water, there's no more Coke, coffee, or anything, and we're just halfway done. It'd be scandalous to the family and to the people putting on the reception. And so much of our life is kind of that way. We do the plans, and then they come to naught. And then we have this opportunity with Christ. And when Christ enters, and we give that opportunity to Him, like Mary, she got it more than anybody else in the whole room. She goes, okay, my hope is in the name of the Lord. And that happens to be my son, Jesus. And so she goes to Him, and even though He kind of, like, speaks to her a little bit sharply, like, woman, what has this got to do with me? My time is not yet come. She believed. She believed in her. And what God had spoken to her when the angel visited her in the very beginning, it says over and over, she hid these things in her heart. She believed. And she believed that God was a good God. Yeah. Amen? And so she goes, okay. But then she goes and tells the servants, whatever He says to do, do it. Now see, some of you and me, I'd go to the servant. I'd go, Rosemary, like, if He tells you to do some good stuff, do it. But if He tells you something wild, don't do that. You know? But see, Mary just believed. And she trusted. And so when our plans of life come to nothing, you know, they come crashing down and the best laid plans of mice and men, then it looks like a total disaster, that it's going to be scandalous to our family, to ourselves, to our own well-being. We can look to Jesus. Amen. And say, Lord, whatever You do, do. And you know what happens when we do that? The same thing at the wedding in Cana. Whatever He does is better than all the other. And that's what it says, is that the host, the guy that was doing the wedding, being the master of ceremonies kind of thing, calls them up and goes like, wow, you guys, this is like the best wine. You saved the best till last. So in saying that, don't get discouraged. Don't let the enemy come in and drive you crazy with like, you should have, you would have, if you could have. Just put it in Jesus' hands. And no matter what your plans look like, the shambles that they wind up looking like, know this, that He is saving the best for last for you. The absolute best. And be like Mary, just simply believe. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.